Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. What a joy to be here again. What a privilege. Amen. Before I proceed, I want to, by the help of choir, just few lines, these confessional songs, to remind myself and my heart of the fact that I did not bring anything. Whatever I'm flowing through in this place is already here. You know, when you are treated by classic protocol, especially the way they did this morning, there is a temptation of thinking that you bring another thing. And I did not bring any other thing. So you will help me to remind myself and my heart with these songs. I know you are here. In this place. You know this song? I know you are here in this place. As we worship and adore your holy name. Is it possible? Thank you. Hallelujah.
You are here. You are here in this place. As we worship and adore
your holy name.
Jesus. For you are here.
Thank you,
Lord. You are here. You are here in this place. And we were
as I worship,
and
adore your holy name. Thank you. The Lord bless you. Now I'm remembered that he's here. And because he's here, I'm going to flow by the aid of the Spirit and bring his power, his revelation to us as he enable me by his presence. Thank you, sirs. Can we sit down, sirs? Thank you. Faith adventure. Faith is something I think I can relate to it easily. The name of my church ministry is Faithview. And that is deliberate. Deliberately crafted by the Holy Ghost to keep me in check and to keep me focused. This morning, as I take this adventure, I'm bringing an aspect of faith that I think by the reason of what God has taken me through in the laboratory of faith for these years, I've come to see as pivotal to faith. Very important is this aspect that I want to shed light on it this morning and to prepare us further for the mighty things that will happen in this 1 week of our sitting at his presence in this place. So we are going to look at what I coin as attitude of faith. Attitude of faith. You can also use it this way. Faith attitude. Any way is okay. Attitude of faith. In fact, I will say that attitude is faith. Faith manifests through attitude. Attitude is so important in the spirit that God to pick two animals that we sometimes even use in place of the name of our God. These two animals are one lion and the other one is eagle. What these two animals have is their attitude. If you look at lion, for example, it's not the strongest of animal. I think elephant will overrun him with pure strength. It's not the most intelligent animal. Even elephant will defeat lion in terms of intelligence. What lion has is an attitude. When lion looks at any other animal, including elephant, what he sees is his food. The moment he sees elephant coming, he starts licking mouth and strategizing how to bring him down and eat it up, despite the strength of the elephant. So God picked lion. That's why we sometimes, and even most times, we call Jesus the lion of the tribe of Judah. It's strictly because of the attitude of the lion. God also, sometimes we call him an eagle. When we said we fly on the eagle's wings. Why do we recall our God eagle? It's strictly because of the attitude of the eagle. When an eagle see a storm, he get happy because his mode of mobility and rest has come. He uses the storm to navigate to the highest point where he stretches his wing and in that place take his rest right on top of the storm. An eagle can look at the sun direct without flinching, fly up. An eagle don't see old age as old age. He sees it as renewal opportunity. Therefore, God picked this animal to relate with in terms of attitude. In the spirit, attitude is very important. Go from Genesis to Revelation. Every great act, every exhibition of faith is via the attitude of this great man. So I come this morning to discuss this vital element of our faith, attitude. And in doing that, I'll be reading from the book of Luke chapter 5, 17 to 18 and thereabout. That's what I'm going to read this morning. And I think we can relate it to this place very well. Every gathering, every church gathering, anytime we gather before God, I don't think it's so different from this gathering that Jesus organized. It's a mini crusade that Jesus put together to showcase his power and to teach and to save soul. And we can relate to that. Yesterday when I came in, everywhere was jam-packed. There was not even a single seat here. It is by the grace and connection and the knowledge of some of the protocol that they gave me, directed me up there. And I give God glory because I found a place up there before I went to the hotel. But many others could not get in. Do you know that? Many could not get in. And that is the scenario that we are looking at today, this morning, as we talk about attitude that some of us bring into the presence of God. Let's go reading. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with the couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sin are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this man which speaketh blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thought, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your heart? Whether it's easier to say, Thy sin be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man had power upon the earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy couch and go into thy house. And immediately arose up before them and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. The Lord bless this reading in Jesus' name. This is a description most times of our meetings. In this particular meeting that Jesus called, there were three set of people that we are looking at who came in with peculiar attitude. The Bible referred to some as Pharisees. There were also others called the doctors of law. If you read down, you will also see another set called the scribes. The Pharisees, great and choice men with experience in the things of God. They were there before most people. Custodians of knowledge of God. They have taken their time to learn God and the ritual that goes with it. They know the law. They were there. The second groups are the doctors. The doctors were there. My brother is a doctor. Dr. Arome Osai. But it's not this one I'm talking about. I also aspire to be a doctor. In fact, by this October, I should have finished my program in a federal university. So if God gives me grace and privilege again, next year, I would have taken my doctorate degree. So I'm not against doctors. Praise God. I will become one. So when you are hearing me talking about doctor, relax. It's the attitude I'm getting at. There is the third group, the scribes. Who? The scribes. The scribes. These are writers. They write. Authors. They are the record keepers. They write everything about God and the Spirit of God. They know it. And they have written books on them. They keep the record of everything that happened from Genesis to Revelation. They were there. And they came early, and they took choice seat before the Lord Jesus. So we believe that they have faith. That's why they came. Everyone that came early, who took seat, I want to believe, have some measure of faith. And they came expecting to receive something. And I believe the Pharisees, the doctors, and the scribes, these are not young men. So they must have also come with BPs, sugar, and every related old age diseases, hoping that Jesus will quietly heal them. So they came early because time is running out on them. So they took seats strategically like this. When I point to you, I'm not saying you are the one. They took seat. All these people are privileged to meet Jesus at a close range. And from where we read, the passage started this way. I want to emphasize it again. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, and there were Pharisees, doctors of the law, sitting by, and then Galilee, Judea, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The power of the Lord was present to heal each and every one of these people that were present. Just like the power of God is here to heal any. If you are going to be here for these days, these few days, till Sunday, whatever you want is already here. Power for healing. All manner of diseases. You've seen it by experience and everything and by testimony. Have you not seen it? It's here. So you know it. So you have some measure of what? Faith. So it's not like you don't have faith. You have faith. Isn't it? If you come for issues of life, job, husband, wife, career, whatever is your challenge, whatever you are deficient on, there is power of God in this place to heal you. And the servant of God have taken extreme time and preparation to gather prominent men of God. You know what it costs to bring one of them? Of different grace, statures in the spirit, and their experience with God. All to make sure that nobody leave this place without what? Healing. So it's the same scenario. Why did the Bible put it there? He wanted us to know that this meeting is not just a teaching meeting. It's what? A power demonstration meeting. It was called to touch each and every one that came for that program. But there was a problem. There was a problem. And from what I'm saying, the problem is not so much of their faith. Even here now, the Bible says God has dealt with every man some measure of what? The same Bible says that even if that faith is like a mustard seed, as little as that mustard seed. Have you seen it before? If I hold it, you won't see it. Even if I'm close to you, it will be in between my fingers. And as small as that is, the Bible says, if your faith is like that, you can move what? A mountain. And you can tell a mountain, be moved, and what? What is even in front of some of us never even reach mountain. Some are just here. And for all these days and 1 week that you are sitting here with the power of God presence, you still carry the same thing back home. Aye! Why did you come? Why are you here? Every year I come here, something follow me home. And it's because, not because of anything that I'm special, but the understanding that if I come, I have to come working on my what? Attitude. So the problem of these Pharisees, doctors of law, and the scribes, knowledgeable men, people that are experienced in the things of God like you and I, people see him, they can even talk and can tell you that if a Pharisee get up to embrace Jesus, nobody can stop them. They have that good access. If a doctor of the law goes to shake Jesus, nobody, Peter cannot stop them. Because they know who these people are. Just like some of us have access to Dr. Osai. Especially those that are here. But at the end of the day, these people that came with all manner of problem could not get anything from Jesus. Why? It's about their attitude. And the Bible was not silent on that. The moment Jesus saw what happened when those young men brought in the man that was totally paralyzed and they came in through the roof because there was no space again for them. The road is blocked. There is no window they can use. The whole place is filled. So naturally, they should have taken the man back home and said, we came late. So these people came late. But the fact that they are late with the right attitude gave them a way through. So it's not about coming early. It's about coming correctly with the right attitude. Even as much as I want you to come early, because even coming early is an attitude. When they came and there was no way, they look at themselves. Say, what are we going to do? Say, okay, they can block the door. They may have taken the window. What of the roof? I don't know who brought that crazy idea. The Bible was silent, but I would have loved to know his name. You can imagine as we are here, somebody now put a ladder at the back of this building. And then we start hearing sound. Po, po, po. Before you know, this ceiling and everybody get open. And you hear, whoo, bam, we don't come. Everybody's attention was shifted to the commotion, to the audacity, to the courage, and to the happening. The attitude of these people changed the atmosphere, not any other preaching. And Jesus had no choice than to stop whatever he was doing, whatever discussion he was having, whatever program he was having. That was the end of the day. The only program that was recorded on this day was the act of these men. What surprised me is this, to even tell you how important attitude is, it can override faith. The man that was brought in is a paralyzed man. His faith is of no use. He may not even know where he is. He may not even recognize Jesus. Haven't been passed through the trauma of the roofing and taken up like helicopter. The way they lowered him, he must have landed even harder, causing more problem. So the man may have been dazed, not thinking about Jesus. There is no faith at all that the man could exhibit. The only faith Jesus could pick was the faith of the friends who had an attitude strong enough to pull up this act. And the Bible said, when Jesus saw their faith, not the faith of the man, but the faith of the carrier, he spoke to the man with palsy. And there was a deviation. He said, your sins are forgiven. In his response to the scribe's thinking, you saw the reason why he deviated. He said, it's easier to say it. Be healed, rise up, carry your distance, go. These guys have done enough for you. But he decided to throw in this because he has seen that the attitude of the congregation looking at him were all wrong. They have gathered. They came in number. They came early, but they do not have the right key. to access the great miracle and power that he has begged to unleash on this day. If you check Matthew chapter 4, read it down there, you will see that this is not the first time that Jesus packaged power to heal everybody. You will see that he has done this again and again. And the Bible said he healed them all. That was what was supposed to happen in this meeting. But the attitude of the people that gathered on these days, maybe the Pharisees, the doctors of the law, and the scribes who were sitting in the front, have already affected the congregation. And it's like the congregation was not moving in the direction. So Jesus threw in this: your sins are forgiven. And when they started their work, because the work of Pharisee, the work of a doctor and the scribes is to reason. In my car outside, you will see my thesis is as big as this. I brought it because I will be doing defense, post field defense, first week of June on 3rd. So I have to be reading it so that this professor will not harass me. Hello. And in reading, you have to reason. So reasoning is their work. So the moment Jesus said, your sins are forgiven, they went in. They started reasoning. This one is not written. I have no record of this as a scribe. The doctors of the law will look at the Pharisee. In the thesis I wrote, I do not find out on the research field that a man like us can just tell somebody your sins are forgiven. This is strange. And they were not speaking with their mouth, they were communicating with their hearts. And Jesus, being a prophet, picked it and said, why are you reasoning in your heart? I'm not going to dwell there. The whole meeting that was supposed to be a massive meeting of healing, of power display, of total wholeness for the people, turned out to be about only one man. And the chapter ended there. Only one man. And this one man came with friends who had the right attitude. You that is here, look at your neighbor. Said, are you here with the right attitude? Check their eye, you will know. By their look, you will know them. You will know whether they are Pharisees, whether they are doctors of law, whether they are scribes. You will know. I have been coming to this conference, since doctors started this. I have not missed one. That is a scribe. He has a record. In 1980, he brought this person. In 1990, that is a scribe. When he finished giving you the record, ask him, what did you get from the meeting today? Some will give you their resume as church leaders. I have them. When they sit and they look at you and they bring down their glass, may God help you. Especially when you are younger than them. They will lecture you on their walks with God. And why they know this God that he cannot do A and B and C, but they miss it. Because the same Bible said, behold, I will do a new thing. The same God that said, there is nothing new under the sun. He is doing this to dribble these people because they don't know God works per time and per dispensation and per individual. The same God says, behold, I will do a new thing. Shall you not know it? But the Pharisees, the doctors of law, and the scribes are not in that state of mind. So they question Jesus bringing a new doctrine of forgiveness of sins. So their hearts we were filled with this reasoning. Just like some of you are reasoning as I'm speaking. Where this one come from? Shebi they say it's Kogi. As I'm speaking, you are reasoning. As I'm speaking, you are analyzing. Your heart has been engaged in adventure of faith. Like that morning. So that when power was being unleashed, the reasoning has blinded them. Jesus has started the act of power, but they were engaged in reasoning. They came with an attitude. Do you know how you know the Pharisees, the doctors of laws, and the scribes in church? If you come early during praise and worship, you will know them. When they sit down like Olumo Rock, no any praise can move them. And today we begin praise God. And this one that is a bit noisy, that is not how we started. When they worship, they look at God. Hey, they do, make me come out. Worship. I've been worshiping all my life. And the way we used to do it, this new generation people have come with a different one. I have a pastor who told me that he doesn't think he can fall if any man of God lay hand on him. Not only pastor, many people in the course of this my years in ministry have told me that. In fact, in the village, one of my cousins told me that. And I remember that I was praying for him later when he became ill with my elder brother. We were praying for him in the room. And before hand could come on him, boom. He woke up. He did not know where he was or what has happened. Then I told him, I said, nobody touch you. Now you fall. And you have been on this ground for almost an hour. In fact, we have to stop our prayer because you were not part of it again. Why do people say that? Because of the way they classify themselves. They take themselves in his presence. They have come to become so familiar with this word and with this Jesus that nothing moves them to the point that they can boast that they will not fall. However, not that I'm saying that it's only when you fall that you can receive from God, but falling can be a right attitude. Have you seen it? It's written in the Bible. When that leprous man saw Jesus, what did he do? The Bible said he fell. Bam! It was the falling that drew the first attention to Jesus. The Holy Ghost did not fall him. Jesus did not pray for him. The apostle did not touch him. The man decided to fall. And when he fell, there was noise. That is how they knew that he fell. If he just lie down quietly, nobody would have taken note. But he fell with an attitude. Sometime, some of you need to fall intentionally. Just come to the presence of God and fall. Fall. Fall, make me see. When you fall with the right attitude, heaven will take note. I told you earlier that attitude is the most important thing in the spirit. David, that, I won't say crony sinner, but if you follow his story, get as be. He did one that was so provocative, even to me that was reading. When he collected the wife of who? And sent him to war front, like they are sending our soldiers to go and fight Boko Haram. And they send them to the heart of Sambisa. What will happen to them? David orchestrated this. The summary of it. When the prophet told him, what did he do? The Bible says he fell from his throne. Bam. When God started judging, hello, he said, sword will not depart from your... Why didn't you just kill the guy? Why? He got up one day. He called his commander. He said, go and number the people. Go and do census. And God has told them, don't count my people. My people cannot be what? Counted. But David said, go and count. The commander said, hey, my Lord. The Lord, there's a word he used to remind him that the people of God are too many to be numbered. Let's not do this, for it is against God. He said, go. When he changed for him, his commander face, nobody told the guy to run to the field and start what? Then God was annoyed. The end of that annoyance is that God killed almost over 100,000 of Israelites. While the person that caused the problem was still watching. An attitude. He's a man of attitude. From the backfield, he has an attitude of worship with God. When he strike that tone, there is a way to God. When he speak, there is a way he twinkle God. He knows how to move heaven, and he knows how to meander in the spirit, so that when he sin, God will say, if I kill David, who will play this thing like him? If I kill David, no, angel, what can we do? Say, kill some other people's mom. That is in line with his attitude. He is in the habit of giving men's life for the life of those with right attitude. So it's not strange. I want you to, after this meeting, have a change of attitude. Time will not permit me to mention the other people who exhibited this attitude. Do you remember Zacchaeus, the shortest man in town, but he was one of the richest. He's a man of outstanding position in town. If you talk of the Dangotes of his day, you will mention him. So he wanted to encounter this Jesus, and there was no way, because he has a problem of height. And he looked at himself, if he's today's big man, will you climb tree? Say, me, climb tree. Which kind Jesus? When he sent his PA and they could not say, they are arrogant. All of them are arrogant. Leave them. You will die. This man climbed tree. And when Jesus saw this attitude, could he pass? Somebody, he came to his house. He said, today, not only you, your entire household, salvation has what? Landed. Who can explain this? Like the mother of Jesus himself. I must mention her so that you know. I mean, the mother of Jesus have experience with his son. And on this occasion, the first ever first miracle that was conducted in the marriage of Cana. Mama Carol Pekin, go wedding. And problem came out. What was the problem? The wine finished. And the program is still going on. And I think they consider it an embarrassment in those days. And the fact that the mother of Jesus was related, she felt she has to do something. She has no any other wine anywhere to go and buy. Maybe she have even finished the money they gave Jesus at birth. So there will be no money to buy again. Who knows? She must have used it for a week. If there is a week, I'm not accusing anybody. So there was no anything he could do, but he came with someone. There is a son that she has given birth to, and by experience, she knows him. So when this problem happened, she called the stewards and said, there is a challenge, and I'm going to send you to somebody. Look at my son there. Go to him. Tell him that the wine is what? Finished. When you say that, just listen to him. But as I go, say, come on, I know you guys. He must have held the ear of one. He said, when you tell him this, yeah, whatsoever he tells you to do, do it all. Because I know your attitude. You have been doing this thing for long. You have been serving in this place for long. What were they serving? They were serving wine. They know where the wine came from. They know the pot of wine. But on this day, Jesus directed them to go fill the keg that was used as ablution. That is not even the very right pot. But he told them, go fill all those pots. What are they filling the pot with? Water. He said, just go and fill. A seasoned steward will look at him and say, okay, what she told us to tell you is that the wine is finished. There is no way somebody can be called to cook those things for this program. Hello. That would have been the first confrontation, and that miracle would have what? Ended. Jesus did not stop there. When they filled the pot, he just said, go give the governor to drink. Which steward would do that? They were the one that fetched the water. They used their hand to fetch what? They poured it in the keg. And when they finished, they said, we don't finish. They were expecting him to conjure, to do, maybe fire will come from heaven and cook the wine or something. But nothing. The guy said, go fetch and give governor. Ha! No steward with attitude will do that. They will say, okay, it's water. I fetch it. If you have nothing to do, let's leave this occasion as it is. It is bad to embarrass our guests with water. And that would have been the end of that. I will not be talking about it today. But Mary warned them, keep your attitude. Keep your knowledge. Keep what you know. When you go to him, anything he tells you, do it. And that is the attitude we need to bring to the presence of Jesus all the time. Whenever you see a man of God climbing this altar, whatever he tells you to do, do it. When you see worshiper worshiping God, they are representing Jesus. Any worship they bring forward, what should you do? Some of us have special song. We have special song because we think the worship is actually for us. If they don't sing those songs, we get offended and we look at them with disdain. They do need to go. Which kind of song is this? Don't come with all these strange songs. Are you the recipient of the worship? I'm not saying this thing is peculiar. Even me, I have that issue before. Even as a pastor, if you bring one kind song, I'll change the program for you. And God has to deal with me. So that I can enjoy everything that he has to offer. Because it may not align with mine. My knowledge, my stature, my experience may be so different. And the Bible warned us about this God. He said his ways are higher than our ways. How dare you come to his presence putting him in a box of your experience, in a box of your reasoning, in a box of your ministry, in a box of your doctrine, in a box of your traditions, in a box of your studies in life. Don't put God in a box. The Pharisees did that. The doctors of law did that. The scribes were not left out. But on these days, they went back with their sicknesses. They went back with their problem. They went back with their issues. And the Bible did not dignify them with name. Have you forgotten? I said, I can stay here and give you example from Genesis to Revelation. Are you hearing me? It's just a constraint of time. You never finish. Because you may have forgotten some other prominent people in the Bible who use attitude to affect God. Let me not go there. I'll preach this one for 30 minutes. My prayer this morning is that by the time I'm done, there will be a change of attitude. Amen. Then I'll know that this God has flowed through me to you. That is a miracle you need to complete the remaining program. Because great men of God are coming. the doctor is here. When you were having him here, you thought it's a joke. Now we are all sharing him together. When he fly down, you can imagine the rush after the program. Was he not here for many years? Attitude. Attitude. Stay there. We will come through the roof and collect what you have. And then you will know. On this day, these four men came in with one paralyzed man. They left all of them walking on their feet. If you see the end of that reading, the Bible said, first, the man gave glory to God. But the Bible did not end there. Even these other people with attitude joined him to give what? Glory to God. Say hallelujah. Say amen. Say amen. Glory to God. We are used to it. We all say it. And I have seen many programs. I have witnessed many programs. Great program. You will count on your fingers the people that are actually touched. Sometimes only one. The entire program will be about one man. That is the one that came with the right attitude. The other one will join to give glory. And when they go home, they become storytellers. How was program? How was IC this year? Wow. Even me, I'll become side attraction for you, Uncle Gibbon. You can see Apostle came in and his ministration. Wow. Story teller. How you will know them is when they finish telling the story, saying, what about that your issue? That your problem that you went with? They will deflect. Wow. The Lord is good. You know, there is a way God does these things. When you become a storyteller, check your attitude. Check your attitude. The problem I have seen in this laboratory that God has given me, that I preside over the people and I watch them day and night, I actually notice attitude. Doctor, please permit me to say this. I have the privilege of him praying for me about two or so occasions. And he will hold my hand and say, my brother, you have healing grace in your hand. Another time you say it again. The first time I hear it as if I no hear him. When he repeated it with seriousness, you know why I'm contending with it? When I pray for some people, they will be looking at me like Olumorok. Many of them. Many. If doctor confirmed that you have the grace of healing, even you, you don't believe him. I say, won't you believe? Doctors of law, Pharisees, and scribes may affect your faith in your own ability to pray for them. When you are praying for them and they are looking at you with their experience and reasoning, you cannot break through. But I have seen some when they come with the right attitude, even before I can say, Jack, oh! Then they come. But the problem is that majority are in the category of this bad attitude. Only few. So sometimes if I look at this number, I look at my hand, I say, ah! And God started dealing with me to walk and change our people because their attitude has become a blockade to their accessing the grace of God and walking in the power of God. Not that the power was not available. The Bible says the power of God was present with emphasis. There were some other occasions that this was not written. And it will be a teaching ministry, a teaching program. But on this day, the whole purpose of this meeting was for the display of the power of God. But only one in the entire crusade was blessed.
Every other one belonged to the group of Pharisees, of doctors of law, and of scribes, who are expert in what? Reasoning. What are you reasoning in your heart whenever you come to the presence of God? Search your heart. There is something. Some of you are reasoning about your home. You are reasoning about husband. You are reasoning about wife. You are reasoning about food in tenacious economy. You are reasoning about so many things. But you have to come with the right attitude so that when the master speaks, you will respond. All right. Let's jump and conclude. We all have issues. Remember the woman with the issues of blood? Do you remember? It's the same line. I told you that I can be bringing. Is her attitude. Peter and the rest apostles were ready to stop anyone. They were stopping them. But with the right attitude, the woman perfected the plan. If I can touch the hem of his garment. Where was it written that if you touch the hem of his garment, you will be made whole? Did she read it anywhere? Attitude. She was able to go through this blockade. And just touch the hem of what happened to Jesus? He stopped. Your attitude will stop Jesus in his track. And he said, who touched me? He was not out to look for who touched him on that day. But the attitude of the woman changed the trajectory of the program. There is another man called blind Bartimaeus. He was standing by the roadside and Jesus was moving to Jericho and the crowd was upon him. Everything worked against him. Even the apostles were shutting him down. But this man has an attitude. Today, not today. Thou son of David, have mercy upon me. The more the protocol attempt to shut him down, the more he shouted. And when the son of David heard his voice and he saw his attitude, he stopped. Are you ready to have the attitude that will stop Jesus from this day? Are you ready to be converted from your reasoning, from the your cloud that you have filled with your own knowledge and the knowledge of God have no meaning for you again? The Bible says, recognizes this, that the battle is actually in your heart. The battle is in your heart. When you allow your own reasoning to go ahead and become higher than that of God. What did the Bible tell us? It said, cast it down. Attitude. As I round up, if you come to the presence of God from now on, check your attitude. Are you hearing me? Micaiah, the wife of David, was permanently made barren because of her what? That's why sometimes I join everybody that is praising God. And if I get crazy, I will start with an attitude. Are you hearing me? Give me chance. When they carry chair, some of you say, what are they doing? Why are they singing like this? Why are they dancing? They are becoming wild. Is that not what you said? They are becoming what? Nobody say, I decrease. My God, I they pray. Nobody say, I decrease. Now God, I they pray. I say, nobody say, I decrease. Now God, I they praise. Have you sang like that before? Because you are a doctor. You are a Pharisee. You are a scribe. You only do the official one. Are you hearing me? When they force you tire, you do like this. Force you tire, you do like this. Then you check them out. The time has come for you to know this. Our prayer this morning, quickly, is in a fold. If time permits, are you hearing me? I want to pray for us for a change of attitude. Are you hearing me? I want to pray. God that you see, if you know this God, God is not a negotiator. Are you hearing me? You think God will negotiate? God is not about bending to your issues and talking. God is an instructor. Psalm 32 verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou will go. From today, just take instruction. Whenever you are instructed, what do you do? Just take it. God is an instructor. If you look at the book of Acts chapter 17:30, it said, and the time of this ignorance, God winked. Some Bible said overlook, but now commanded that every man everywhere should what? Repent. Repentance is by force. You say by force. Is that not what we said? I say repentance is by what? Repentance is by. Say today I'm going to repent with the right attitude. I will approach God. And if you are not ready to repent, God will force you. Are you hearing me? Repentance is by. Am I the one that wrote it here? He said they commanded all men to do what? The first set of people that we are going to pray for with attitude in 1 minute are those who want to give their life to Christ. If you are here, you want to have a change of heart, a change of attitude, and follow Jesus, really. Stand up with me as we pray. Every of this congregation will pray for you as we round up. You know, I wouldn't put 1 minute. I'm a man on that time. I say, rise up on your feet. Abi, you are reasoning. Doctors, rise up. Rise up. Hallelujah. You want to give your life to Christ? You can just raise up your hand as these people pray for you. Pray for you. Hallelujah. 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 The second group of people are those who want to have a change of attitude. I want my attitude to change from now. Stand up on your feet as we stretch forth our hand. As you are leaving this place, you will be a new man. I say you will be a new man. There is a man that was changed into a new man. His name is Saul. The Bible said when he hid that spirit, he became another man. Father, anyone that is here in this meeting, as they go, they shall become a new man. In the name of Jesus. I don't pray finish, where they go.